is why what we say breaks us down.
Somehow, though, your atoms are able to distinguish between your words and those of, say, an example. Like when I'm teaching a workshop, they say, "What do you mean by bad sonics?"
Yeah. Well, you could. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's right. It would be like.
But it's a chord. They're not your sonics.
When it comes from a deep level of feeling that it attaches anywhere. So
it's the thinking and feeling nature combined. But.
I suspect that if a person said something as a joke once, it would be pretty much sloughed off by printing. But if you find a person saying that same expression twice, and then the next day once, and the next day twice, then it's coming from a deep level. And an example of that, Donald, I pointed out to a friend of mine, who you know, that every time he would be dealing with his children, he said, "Look, I'm tired of you doing this, I'm tired of you doing that." And his main complaint was tiredness. Mm-hmm. And he didn't hear the sonics. Now, I told him, and he corrected it. But then when the children finally overwhelmed him again, he went into an automatic tape, "I'm tired of you doing this," showing it was at a very deep level. Mm-hmm. And that the sonics
were
still there.
That he probably heard all the time he was growing up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like I found, when I'm feeling good, my sonics, I've learned to clean up quite a bit. But as soon as I get into a crisis situation, I find my mouth starting to voice stuff that I have to repress. Words will come up automatically. Someone talking to me, telling me this stuff. And
then,
then
you apply the cure.
Yawning.
Good. I do that a lot. Mm-hmm.
So I tell you bite your tongue. Then that's the cure.
Your tongue between your teeth is your best friend.
Mm-hmm. There you go. See?
Because otherwise, till then, they're just voices talking in your ear, and it's not your voice. Once you get
That's voices. Right. That old tape library playing. And what's interesting is that as we go along, those words that slip out seem to come into manifestation more quickly than they used to. It's a big karmic boomerang effect. So when you saw the boomerang
that
came out
yesterday. That was so funny.
Yeah, it was.
Just like that.
Yeah.
You hear them all around you, individually.
That's why it's nature.
But your body, the composition of them, integrated. Therefore, you seem to identify with it. But it takes five of those different types to put you together, to hold you up together. And that's the funny phenomenon. They're too simple. Imagination.
So each of the elements has a particular tone. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, that's what you're studying, solar nutrition, where the elements line up around the clock. That's why we're trying to teach the people to eat right. You're on the biological clock. Do you see the notes of the scale? We didn't cover that because we didn't firstly learn how to eat properly so we can go to different levels. What sound would an apple make if you bite it?
Mm-hmm. of color.
Apple grows on trees, falls in the Red Ridge, makes a sound of rain. That's what note B.
Ray would be like a D on a, you're in the C scale. So it'd be a D. It's Ray.
And Do would be what? C.
C.
Mm-hmm. So Ray would be.
He didn't hear it last night. He would have gotten it like that.
So I spell fear.
F E A R. So F in the ear.
Mm-hmm. But what F is it? Sharp or flat?
So you're talking about F flat in fear, which is an E.
And F sharp.
G flat.
How does G flat sound to E? Press that one again. That's the one.
Huh?
Press that one again.
Which one?
The one. Oh.
F.
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 Is that the flat or the sharp?
That's either. The natural F. Okay, now this is the sharp.
That's the one we're talking about.
F sharp.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fear.
That's fear.
F sharp is fear.
So F flat would be like guilt?
Mm-hmm.
So F flat is guilt?
So anything in the range of F would be a fear.
Now, then working through that key would be therapy.
How do you work through that key?
Well, that's what the sonic machines are for. Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
It brings it out into confrontation. Is that working it through?
That's why we use the therapy to the body. That sound is in all different things around you working with you. You don't even, your body is making it.
So to work through, would you like since I'm a composer, would I be composing in the key of F sharp to work through fear?
Well, yeah.
And that would work through, like driving a car, that would relate to the color of F sharp. What color would F sharp be?
If C is Do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a red.
Red. And orange. And
orange is D.
And E is yellow.
And E is yellow. Green.
Green.
So, and so all fears are in the green. Green
and sharp would be more of a green white.
Green blue.
Green blue.
Turquoise.
Turquoise. Because G would be blue. A would be purple. B would be. Violet.
Uh-huh.
Back to red. B would almost be white, wouldn't it? So B would be the most spiritual of the keys?
Yeah.
And that's the key that Scriabin wrote a lot into. Mm-hmm. Who? Scriabin? Mm-hmm. The Russian composer that wrote a few. He actually conceived of color wheels being played while he was conducting the music. Mm. I think it was Rosicrucian.
That's where it all came from, the knowledge is here with us, but we don't relate to it. Well, the man tried to put it down into a musical wheel or prayer wheel.
Scriabin's ideas of 1900, 1910 are now kind coming out, like watching a film last night.
Right.
They're playing Mozart's Jupiter Suite, and music is just in color. Based on the science.
Interesting phenomenon.
Interesting. Interesting.
Not like that. That's not valid.
That was my mistake.
They tend to zero in those areas, but that's not. Well, they don't have any other part of the anatomy to go to. It's associated with it. But, people with problems may seem to emphasize that part of the anatomy.
What I was going to say is then, if I clean up the lungs, that should get rid of the compensating grief.
Remember, the thing is this, grief and all the so-called negative labels of your mechanism are the result of only one action. The Father threw you out without your consent. And that is what makes the anguish in all atomic structure. The right to perform is denied you, the atom. So you're forced to be drafted. It's called a drafting situation. You suffer from a draft syndrome. Your anguish is all locked up. All your murdering and everything is locked up in the draft syndrome. The only compensation for that is to rebel. Creative intelligence knows that. He knows that he can't make a creation without a draft syndrome. Putting all the anguish and the frustration into it in order for it to rebel, and you're going to rebel by telling it not to do a thing. So it tells it not to do in order for it to rebel.
By extension, it means you can treat any organ with any other organ. There's no shunts in that level.
And so when you rebel, there is only one condition, the victory with revenge, or the victory with compassion. Now, we don't have victory with compassion when you rebel, because we mostly try to be victorious with revenge. Mm-hmm. But because we see the victory isn't compensatory in revenge, we're back right where you are, then the only last alternative is to volunteer to correct the hurt that is imposed by the drafting system.
So that's something that's called surrender then during the...
Well, surrender isn't a bad term again. It creates more vengeance.
Are you saying that success and winner are two different things, because they say the best revenge is success, and many people live their lifestyle like that, to be a success so that it gets to the other person to know.
A winner is not a successful
person. No, that's what I...
A successful person is one who's trying to triumph.
It's revenge, yeah, that is revenge.
Over his abuse.
A winner
is
just to accept your
liberated.
Physiology. You just accept your physiology.
A winner is a liberated person. Liberated in the sense it understands why it is living. It understands that it's breathing for the first time as a winner.
Because whenever everybody gets winner, they go right up and say, I'm a winner, so I'm going to get money and I'm going to get this and I get that. They're looking for revenge. A winner doesn't have to do anything. They don't have to do the dishes.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, which is within you, and its righteousness, and it will free you. Free men, all lord of yourselves. has nothing to do with the fixation of what they're talking about. When you look in at your structure, that's what they call kingdom, storage of your cells. Not self, there is no self. And it's right law. The right law is the sperm is thrown out to go to an ovum, but there really is no thrown out because why? No ovum can be used twice, number one, as a fact. The ovum is a signaler interreactor to a sperm integrator. So ovum 149 is calling sperm 149, and all the rest are really not losers, but what? Compensatory, conditional caretakers for you to be 147, to bond with 147. When you look at facts instead of the assumed conditions, then you know you bond and the chair go on winner. Our turn will come when we go the next race. That's the 139 of the Walrus are talking. Then the 147 goes out through the 7 month cycle or within a 4.5 month dilation, double dilation cycle, because that's where we are heading, and cut the cord. Then the pressurization is the gift to the container. It breathes good. It doesn't understand. It has to work through all the levels of programming, camerizing, to the understanding level. Then it understands. Then that's why it volunteers now for the action, and that's the compensatory condition, where it's not realizing in terms of revenge, classifying its accomplishment of winning as a revenge. It's realizing and understanding for the first time, it's volunteering to correct a condition that is permitting a non-violent activity for the compensation, not a violent activity based upon revenge as accomplishment. It's a return into the body by the compensatory aid of all to the point of accomplishment, to accept the non-violent process as its own self-compensation.
There's no reviolence.
In the worst, nobody who is violent can tolerate a non-violent person. He's a more dangerous threat to their whole conceptual thinking. Mm-hmm. They'd rather fight with you who rebel against them than be either loser or victor in the terms of revenge, than to confront you having no need to fight you and trying to tear you to pieces and you're not responding. Even if you want or you don't want, you're not responding. You don't see the method of assertiveness in destructive reaction to the drafting syndrome as a means to be compensated.
Okay, now here is the question. How to do that, Donald? Because two things happen. Because the mind is the illusion of it is a strong thing. Number one, when someone attacks you, if you try to say, I don't have to yell back at it, you take that in and a disease process happens. Number two, if you rationalize it with your mind and say, okay, this person's doing me now, I'll get my reward later, which is usually that person's going to hell eventually, sometime at the end of the line. That's why most people are benign and nonviolent in those cases. So what's to prevent, how do you stop, how without using that loophole, how does one remain healthy under fire?
In the bathroom.
That's a perfect answer.
Drafted, so we're always going to look for revenge as the winner. Until we realize we volunteer. And then the volunteering is what allows us to accept the carbon-based body as the ultimate opportunity. There is the highest compensation. The understanding is in the compensation, because all the other types want to use this. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go through the birth canal. to make up for the revenge. And so we, who are the vicious type, hard-headed ones, came in to master this, so I know for sure. And we have mastered it with the degree of where we are ready to live the understanding more than the belief. Understanding that this is the highest form of chemical body available in permanency structure. All the others have great qualities, but in terms of permanency, the carbon base is there. The carbon base has to go through phasing down of the memory. It has to go through the malfunctioning and the aborting and all the different conditions of never finishing up. So therefore, the biggest threat to the carbon base body is the unfinished promise. So if you live your word in the carbon base body, you're master. That's the finished promise. For him that overcome it, I'll not send for a second time. You volunteer now to clean up, but finish what you say. So learn to work with it, so that your body will start recorrecting itself.
The pores in your skin are almost indistinguishable, Adano. Is that what the polishing process does?
That's right.
Shrinks the size of the pores?
Yeah.
Feel his hands. Like mine just really, you can see each one.
Well, if you work with it, as we say, it mine was a bit like it. It used to be overweight, coffee. It gets glossy and it's the diamond effect that you're working on. The actual carbon correcting itself.
But if you breathe through the skin, why is it that your pores should appear to get smaller? I would think you'd need... I don't understand why they would constrict.
Is your nose bigger than your mouth?
No.
So why don't you breathe through your mouth? Maybe suck in the air. They don't work that way. Bigger absorption is not more distribution. If you want to shoot something through with more power, do you have a big opening or a small opening?
Small.
That's the same thing. The greater the pressure on the outside is 14 points, something more, is 1 point more than the inside. So otherwise, if they were even, they'll explode. Outside can't be less than the inside. Right. Outside has to be more than the inside. So the constriction here has to be more on the outside to resist the air, to push its way through, to shoot through. That's why breathing through the skin is not the easiest accomplishment, and it's not for a child. It's for the developed adult who cleans up the body. Everyone has to start off here, then work to this.
So does it follow then that your organism is under greater internal pressure than mine is at this stage?
Yeah.
And that the pressure increases as the cleanup process progresses.
Right.
And you gain weight, that little half ounce of air is now an ounce or whatever?
No.
It's not
more air. You're still 3.5 ounces inside.
Yeah, okay, still the same.
Still the same.
Pressure.
The pressure changes and the repetitional input-output diminishes. We're not working to a breath-free state. We're working to a breathless state.
Less.
Yeah.
Breathless state. So that we
can... The terms are very exact in there, what they mean. No, and breath-free means to bury you.
Right. Breathless.
Breathless means to be in constant control of it till midnight eternity.
So this is why when somebody is in a deep yogi meditation state,
they're in a breathless state, breath-free state.
Little breath.
Right, that means what? The expansion time between inhalation and exhalation is longer than the other individuals who are drawing it faster in and out. So they're speeding up more reaction in their system. Well, why is the person breathing slow versus the person breathing fast? Person breathing fast is moving around more, but isn't going anywhere outside the dimension of the present location. The person is breathing slow, isn't moving fast externally, but is traveling in a further dimension of time and vision inside of the mechanism. The person who breathes fast is like a camera. The person who breathes slow is like a radar unit. This couldn't pick up a car traveling at 70 miles an hour. It'd take a radar to do that. So that's the function inside of you. The slower you breathe, the more distance you travel. The more you breathe, the less distance you travel. So the man who's going to travel longer distances in the future isn't going to be breathing fast. He's breathing slower. Because the distance he has to go won't be needed for him to be constantly working the body. So space travelers are going to be in a hybrid state, which they call biological suspension of their respiration. And they're not going to be using that much oxygen per minute. They're using less. And the animal that lives in the snow during the winter time breathes less, it's hibernating. They're all close to what you call sleep state. Minimal inhalation, exhalation. That state is
free.
That's breath free. And now if you can be conscious between the death and the sleep and have the minimal inhalation, exhalation, then you're free. Free from the restriction of confinement to the body. Enjoy yourselves. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourselves. The never gonna be pink. The years go by. They're always filled with drink. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves before they stink. See, that's the fact. The whole thing. These cells never get pink. Take them up, look under the microscope. It's a clear plastic. They look all kind of color from the outside because the blood is running through it. But as the years go by, they'll always fill the drink. Keep putting in liquid. But if you don't enjoy them, one day they stink up. That's the end of the journey of disappointment. But if you enjoy them, they'll never let you down.
Disappointment really is
missing your appointment.
Missing your appointment.
Mm. And you're putting it in the distance. Mm. So if you live now, you're in appointment.
In appointment. In the point.
Right.
Dot in the middle.
Right, you got it. So live the now. But you see, the young lady that was there last night said she went to India. And all they were teaching was, and she observed, that they were making her conscious of living in the now. Watch out for the snake, or dip in the grass, and walking. Every moment to be conscious of now. Don't worry. very upsetting for people who aren't familiar with that type of lifestyle. And they call that weekend or obsession in now living. Now you know what now living is. In the American version,
cells, breathe. Come on, pores.
See, you learn very fast now living. An American version. Very fast. You don't have to go in the jungle or walk in the bush to find out there's somebody gonna pick at you.
Well, what's interesting, and I've observed it so many times, is that people search for happiness, and yet when they take a break and they sit down in their back patio, take 5 minutes and watch an Arizona sunset, that's when they're happy, but they're not thinking about it. If you're thinking about it, you're not happy. They're not thinking. They're not analyzing. They're being a camera. And that's the state of peace and bliss and now moments. And yet they get up and walk away from that, and they say, well, that was pretty, but now I have to search for happiness and peace.
Because happiness is a word representing a goal.
Mm-hmm. Which is the stop-start come-go consciousness, as success is, which carries failure inherent in it.
But you see, if you're enjoying happening, which is the actual experience, then each moment that is happening is a pearl of great price, because you cannot rehearse it. You can't share it with nobody. It is your moment of happening. But if you're going to try to hold on, to be attached to the moment of happening as a means of reproducing it, you'll be disappointed. There is no way to reproduce that split second of putting your cup to your mouth.
Tasting that taste of body cutting.
But even so, at that moment you only took what was supposed to go in. The next one is another one going in. Whatever it is, and right. A couple of hours. Each moment is its moment of happening. So it's the confusion between the word happiness versus the actual experience. Happiness is nowhere to be found but in the contents of the mind.
It creates pressure and stress. And
but then you see, they use this elusive way of saying happiness is nowhere to be found but in a contented mind. Mind doesn't exist, so how can it be contented? But brain frequencies exist, where the contents of what the brain relates to are that frequency. So then the who is the most destructive process of living versus the what. But 99% of your existence is focused on the who, simply because what you are is 144 elements in a state of momentum, and the momentum perpetuates the who. Now that who is going to always be there to perpetuate and accelerate those 144 elements. And infinity, incarnations, and various illusions of motivated goals are the blueprint of a who. The actual what you are is not told to you immediately, because there would be no more fun. When you know what you are first, not who you are, then you can live the who. Anytime, any place, without being trapped by the who.
Be entertained,
right.
Actually.
But if you don't know what you are, and you're trying to make the who into your what, and believing the who is really what you are, then you get so disappointed, because the who lets you down every time, because it's based upon supposition. So when I was asked to initiate people, I knew right away I would be trapped in the hoop game, and all the different people wanted to come and get initiated. So I refused on those grounds. I wanted something more tangible, and that was love beyond belief. And how do you get love beyond belief? I call it approval. So if you're approved I wanted the approval. Then I made my own big mouth talk. If the rainbow is in the sky, no, I can't make it from belief. And if the rain fall, those two approvals are perfect in the sky. But the second one is compensatory, the question. This question can be picked up among friends. Someone making a casual remark.
Hello.
And that you can come in with the question. So that's a compensatory situation. The other two is no way you can get around those unless your love is beyond belief. And if your love is beyond belief and the rain falls, then you know you've done the job.
David, I don't believe you met Mark.
No, Mark, I am David.
How are you?
Because in December, you're here a short time. Then you wouldn't be back until March. If you...
I'll check my schedule.
Okay, then we check it when we get back and figure it out, and then she can set up her workshops, but it breaks our hearts when we have to work. But that way, I could go ahead and tell people, and they could start saving money and plan for the workshop.
Well, I figured that would be the most appropriate time, the January workshop, where they would have the unit, they'd have the thing, and then Boogie would do my charts. Because that's what I got in love with, working out to do the anatomical charts, so the lines and everything.
Good. The meridian
one? You know, to put them in. So. Well, meridians is acupuncture, that's oracle. This is doing the zones and reflexes on the whole body. And so by the time you'd be gone back to California, and then you'd be getting that ready for me.
So maybe you check the schedule over the weekend and come back, because I'm going to have to give her a commitment like next week sometime.
So
if you know,
look at a January schedule, then I can more
great. Then I can set that week aside those days.
Yeah, because and then people knowing this far in advance, they can get the money saved up.
So I need to get $129. Is that what you said for that? All right, I'll get the money. No, I know. I'll get the money to Jody then, or to you, and you can give it to Jody to bring it back to me.
They retail for $175.
Oh, it's $175.
That's what they retail for.
Oh, boy, that's
why I'm saying we are trying to put it together, the workshop for the initiate, to give them the unit combined with the tapes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bargain.
Yes, indeed it is. Thank you.
Well,
we have that Polarator. Have you ever seen that? Amway made it some years ago, and we got it. They called it a massage unit, and it's handheld, or it's got a little holder that you can lean back against it. And it does vibration, and it makes a sound, whether it's the same sound, who knows, but it does make a sound, and it does build up heat on metal.
I'll have to see it for myself.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people have been trying to duplicate this.
Well, yeah, that one's been out for 8 or 10 years now.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I see how we knew, I knew this unit was attractive. It's when I saw his big unit in the TV.
Yeah.
Remember, he had his unit like this, sitting like that.
Uh-huh. He said, "Yeah, look at that.
And then, when he picked it up and turned it over to work on the woman, that was the same black cap regulator. But they put this here to just separate themselves from the other people manufacturing. So that's how I knew. See, the four... These five, these red things represent the point where the signals are set up in the unit. So I knew that all five, that's why I couldn't understand what had happened to it, why it didn't work. But when I unbuckled it and put through it, then I saw what they had done. They had made this a portable, integrated transmitter. All five sounded there.
The ohm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
five represent a kettle, a door, a rushing water, hammer hitting a nail, and wind blowing.
Now, two of those sounds people naturally relax to, find very relaxing,
right.
But not the rest.
No, because those are the ones that get traumatized. Like that young lady yesterday with her smack face.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
What happened to him?
With him too. Those are the areas that get, those songs are the ones that have the traumatized songs. Everybody, any trauma, those are the ones that get knocked out.
Is that temperature?
Yeah.
Temperature and
liquid.
And the gas.
The gas.
So the ones that are comforting would be the crystalline
and
the
liquid.
Yeah, because the people love to hear the sound of water, either waves or rushing brook, and the sound of a gentle breeze or wind is comforting too. That's interesting.
When outside I was sitting in the chair at putting the table, and I had the tape on the machine with me without, and I thought, you know, it made you feel so good, and all of a sudden I started crying. That's supposed to make me feel good.
Crying,
so it hit something. One of the elements? Yeah. It's still there. I feel it, but I know what I have to do, so. Someone said that one should wait until spring? Or?
Yeah, that's the best time to do.
But if there's a need, should I do it now?
You're working it some more.
Okay. No, I want it done. It came up, so.
That's got some break lessons.
Yeah. Please, let me hear it.
When it slows down. Maybe you want to study something, you'll speed your brain up, it's slowing down.
When you want to speed it up or slow it down,
you should slow it down, but most people speed it up instead. Because the speeding up is the analysis, the intellect, and the slowing down is the camera, right?
Or the memorizing.
Probably alpha stage.
Sure.
Your memory is slow, not fast. You have to slow the brain down to pick up the memory. You want to memorize things, you got to slow it down.
Now, what does it imprint upon? There's no such thing as mind, there's no such thing as memory. So what does it imprint upon? The silicon?
Yeah. There are only two types of imprint, silicon and carbon.
Yeah. Then what is memory to imprint on it? It must be oxygen. No, probably the opposite.
Good. We feel the resonance of the repetition inscribes upon the silicon. Mm-hmm. And exploring the silicon. Or the problem. That's how it gives you a repetition. The milk could say something over and over to set up resonance, to inscribe.
Now, what about people with photographic memories who just see it once?
Think of what you just said, photographic. Are you using light in the camera?
Mm-hmm.
So a lens.
Yeah. Or something that also photographic, that wouldn't be the right thing, what would you call it, for people who remember music just like that. That they would play the whole thing back like, what do you call it? Mm-hmm. the people who are mentally ill and at the same time have a huge intellect.
Yeah. This portion is brilliant. This is that.
Right.
It has to be a brain wave.
Hmm.
Music is right brain, isn't it?
He has to go below alpha.
Mm-hmm. What happened? So he was sort of showing that the memory function can be, you know, the...
You have to function.
Idiot solvents. Three cases they gave in 2020, and there's lots of others. There's one man who couldn't even add, he was so mentally deranged, he couldn't add one and one. Yet, you could say July 12th, 12:32, and he'd say Tuesday immediately. You know the day of the week for the entire way, and could give you the weather for his look from the time he was born or until the time he was a child on the weather report for the day at that time. The second case is someone who was retarded, so they gave him some clay to play with. He made an exact replica of the animal without looking at anything, and his stuff sells in the art museum for $10,000 or so. The third case was a retarded person who couldn't even move his hands, you know, one of these type of guys. And they brought him a piano. They were going to play the piano, and the wife and the husband went to bed. And the wife said, did you turn the TV off? She says, no. I mean, I said, yeah, I did. And what's that beautiful music? The child had crept to the piano, was playing it note for note on classical pieces. He could play them any classical piece once. He could reproduce it without one notational error.
That's apparent. When in an anguish and never wanted to have a child. Too soon. You call it a professional life. You want to pursue.
Yeah.
It was incomplete. And because of that, the child comes out traumatized for lack of flexibility because of retarded. I had nothing to do with the child. But that consciousness that they were trying to build up in their own special nature, you locked up in those genes. Your own frustrations and trauma is locked up in the chemistry of the body. So they have the byproduct of their own fixations coming up to confront them. So they're just locked up, falling back, open up. That child comes in now to work through those particular conditions to show that what they were focusing on was valid, but they limited themselves by doing what? Feeling trapped. So now they're really trapped to pamper the child with the so-called that.
So
limitation.
Retardation.
Then they're forced to be more compassionate. But then the child rises above its limitations and makes itself its own acceptance, then they're happy.
And again, they drag this kid out on the stage for 18 or something like this, you know, and he's playing piano to the audiences. You know, again.
Then they're happy because they begin to experience their own compassionate nature. And God will tell us, rising above its limitations, and they are seeing the opportunity.
Well, what about the exploitation of such an individual? the parents making the money off of the performance of a child.
I'll tell you again, children are the dukes who invested in the parents to go to the new world to become free in order to live the world of citizenship and freedom from serfdom or slavery, with the hope that they will pay their bill off. And when the bill was incomplete, what is the duke going to do? Go after the person to collect the unfinished bill. On the next incarnation, those same parents are living in a better lifestyle because they were already working towards it and died and didn't finish it. And now they got the duke as their child to be pampered. Or the duchess to be pampered. So when you find a child coming in, he's doing all kinds of weird things. He's trying to get even with the unfinished payments. Talk on. Had somebody ask him. For a child. Master, we'd like to have a child. He looks around and then after he looks at the girl and says, I think that time is over. Afterwards, again she repeats the question. I think that time is over. Yeah? Third time, she pressure. He looks straight at them and said, I tell you what, I'll evolve a tree. And I let him finish the rest of the sentence. He knows about it.
But it's going to be this child, that's how to say, this child isn't going to be the smartest in school. He's going to evolve it from a tree. This child isn't going to be the smartest in school, but it's going to be real easy to take to handle, to manage. A wooden head.
A wood head.
He's a wood head.
Now, I know there's always a reason for you.
You can only have children to work on karma.
What I'm wondering, though, is why you're telling us this. I know there's a point, and I want to understand why.
I'm trying to point out that people put themselves into the problem without understanding. I'm blaming the children for their problem and blaming themselves for the problem. I don't understand what nature is doing because they're too caught up in the who. When you know what you are, you don't have any more. Commitments other than to yourself.
Well, you would call it more or less in Houston Xerox quotation.
Is that why I don't have any children this time?
Hmm?
Is that why I don't have any children this time? That's progress?
Yeah.
So now you can go into relationships instead of Xeroxing, this is the age of relationships. Pricing is the age of Xeroxing. But we certainly have enough population.
Well, you see, there's another young man in Houston. Who got married. And he was trying to control the whole group in Houston. The very first time Takar came there, I looked at that and I said, oh boy. He married later on. And he pushed through, wanted to have a child. And what happened? She got pregnant, in spite of the fact. He knew they were only to build up a relationship. And the way she was ready to go to the delivery, he's taken her to the hospital. She and the child didn't breed. But instead of having two people arriving to be born, you had two dead people to bury. He learned his karma very well.
Well, now, was living through that his karma, or had he already finished the karma of having babies, and did he create new? Oh, that was the new stuff that he didn't have to do, but he set it up for himself by his own son.
Cool. No, he is one born up individual. Very suicidal.
Blood type?
It's very suicidal.
So is AB.
Because he realized what he did. He didn't listen. His desire to do was stronger than the actual laws he had to work with. Many of us come in, programmed by our parents in many ways, to live as an illusionary condition of a who, not knowing what we are. So, when he had a relationship with the wife, or to grow up the relationship, he pushed through to have children. Because he's been successful with business, lawyer. Now, he lost the wife and the child. And then he realized what the teacher is saying for the first time. But he put himself in a bigger predicament because he's an initiate. Don't let desire or ego get the better part of your what. Including me, I have to learn that too. That's why I phase down from the who to the what. When I fell off the building, I realized the who can put you in all kind of predicament. And that's the job. Because they have so many illusions in the who. And the what doesn't have illusions. The what is what it is. Very difficult to live the what.
What's the most practical method for watching and safeguarding against the who taking the upper hand? Thank you.
Live in the now. That woman that came back from India, that she spent the entire time talking about it night before last. But all she was doing there to have to learn how to live in the now. And that's what his name friend.
Hildred. So our talking about planning your trip in January is still now moment planning, so planning is acceptable?
That's different. That's not how we do it. We're not talking about that. Planning is different.
As long as you don't try to live it before it happens.
Yeah. We present the thought of on this falling place. I don't get worked up into it.
If you start worrying about who's coming and all that kind of stuff and what you're going to do and how you're going to make it and the money and this kind of thing.
See, we can't wait till January and call him up and say, come this week. Well, maybe we could, but it doesn't seem practical.
We can look at the calendar and see what is the projected time frame, and then we put it in that time frame. That's valid.
Otherwise, you wouldn't really use astrology.
No.
Do you want anything else?
No.
Okay.
That's valid. You can put it in this futuristic time frame.
An example I've heard it on is a lot of people will plant a seed. And then if you keep digging up the seed to see how it's doing, it never grows up.
It's not going
to
grow.
Or they say when you mail the letter, forget about it.
Right.
Post office will take care of it.
Did you get yours?
I need a bit more.
You said the thought already you would like me back in January. We look at the calendar and see the proximal condition. Then you fit the, it'll fit itself.
Then he thinks no more about it till he gets here in January, and other than if that's correct, yeah. Then I call him and he says,
it's like you coming, and then again at the last minute when he had to make that condition for Austin.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that Austin's situation would come up.
You didn't know?
Last minute it showed up. They were proposing it, and finally it came out that way.
All right, then what was the need, the divine timing, for you coming back here now so soon after your visit in September?
What I did last night in the girl's face, and yesterday.
Mark is a good example.
And yesterday?
Mm-hmm. And the young man that was approved for initiation.
Well, I get strong feelings off of that. I know you did too.
Well,
off of what?
Mark
would be initiated Wednesday night.
Yeah, I saw the rain come through last night.
And he was here. And you should have seen him. And Elise, I mean, the thunder, the lightning, and every time the lightning and the thunder, you could just see it charge through his body. And then Elise says, "It's raining." Oh, you know, don't ask a question. I knew you'd ask a question. It was beautiful.
The day before, there was not a single thing like that possible. And he asked me, and that's why he came to talk
that's
to me about it.
He
came, said, "I want to talk to you." I said, "What?" He said, "I'd like to be initiated." I said, "What?" He said, "I'd like to be initiated."
What?
I said, "Well, do you know the rules?" He says, "No." He says, "I don't initiate people unless they're approved." "Oh, what do I have to do for the approval?" I said, "Well, if the rain falls or a rainbow shows up or someone asks a question before I leave here on Thursday morning, they're approved." He closed his book. And he looked at me and says, "Uh-oh, I guess it's not like I can do that." I said, "Don't panic. I'll be here." He said, "Well, I understand tomorrow night we'll for this special, on this special. But am I permitted to come tomorrow night?" That's last night. I said, "Yes, we'll be doing a workshop. So get people more interested in themselves." I said, "Okay, I'll be there tomorrow night. I guess I go home and sleep and pray." That's what he said, "I go home and sleep and pray." And yet he walked out. I looked outside, the big moon was there in the stars. I came out last night here. I saw him sitting over there in the corner. The TV's played. And all of a sudden, he heard, boom. Hey, look at it. And I see his head shake. And I was doing that. And then, what's the name? Comes over and says to me, "Please don't make it get my life disturbed."
My what?
Patio.
Our patio before I get home. I laugh. I say, "That's funny, as you can tell."
Yeah, not raining on my patio.
And then Elise looked outside and she said, "Adana, it's raining." You can see like the whole guy wanted to tear apart with tears.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I come to learn relationships.
Maybe try it. That's an emotional moment.
Mm-hmm.
And Jojo ran across from him hugging.
I could just feel him so much in it.
Mm-hmm.
You got enough children to take care of.
Oh.
They're two-legged and four-legged.
You meant to that. Jim's gotten to the point now where if the phone rings and it's two different individuals, he'll say, it's your daughter. Mm-hmm. He said she relates to me as though I were her mother. One of them.
That's good.
Well, last night.
The bigger family.
Or the workshop, after the workshop, Jim was sitting there and he said, you're a good mom. And, you know, I didn't reason it. For a long time, I did. And people would call me mother or mom. I'm not your mother. I'm not your mom.
Yeah.
But I did not reason it. The word that really came through was nursemaid.
But don't shut yourself out if these things are there, because we never know. As I say, Jesus had a chance to get off the cross and go be a husband with kids, or remain on the cross and let the world live with their imprint of what he was for them. And then he and Judas had to decide who had the toughest role. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
The last invitation.
I was with you.
Who do you think had the toughest role?
Judas.
You bet he had the toughest role. It's tougher to be hung on a cross, but it's much more tougher to betray the person that you love, to have that hung on the cross.
And then be maligned by an entire civilization for thousands of years.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, your son, at the sonics of the individuals who say your name with great animosity each time.
Never realizing what the heck
what
is going on.
What a sacrifice you made.
We never realize behind the scenes what really goes on in the related consciousness of the individual.
Yeah.
So until you understand these laws of the who, what, that's when I began to look into it. I say, shucks, that was what broke me when I began to look into the who and the what. I said, Judas, you son of a gun, you have the toughest role. And I was saying that long before even the last temptation ever came out. I said, I'm going to track down who you were now. And then I tracked him back. And then he says, Elijah. I said, oh. And I look back at him, and John called, Jesus called John Elijah. I said, you can't know another person unless you were with them. That don't make sense. You got to be the student or something. And so I started going back to look up the stories of Elijah. And then I saw it. I said, huh. There were three people there that were involved. The one they called the thief, and the one that who had the right to be the student master. And then the one who's asking the question to the power.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the whole thing. I said, no wonder you have to come back and play the role of Jesus to compensate them all. Relieve Elijah, John, and free Judas from the betrayal that he got betrayed by him.
Mm-hmm.
And the thief on the cross had to get the consolation of he being not a part of the process who left. But so the whole thing is put together to do. You begin to see the whole principle behind it, why these men live these lives, to work out these laws. Then I said, Big Daddy, you are the writer, producer, director, actor, and the audience, and the buck in the bucket.
And the critic.
And the critic.
The reviewer.
And the reviewer. He's all of them put together. He just says, now I know why that man said, all over the stage. And we're merely actors, and I said he had a true understanding of the whole entire process. seeing it as a stage.
A few weeks ago, I was hired to do a series of workshops at a local plant for groups of engineers. Mm-hmm. And I went out there, and I did 2.5 hours, and I was not at all well received. Nobody'd say anything. Nobody'd smile. Mm-hmm. Nobody'd ask a question. It was one of the most interesting immunization opportunities I had had in a long time, and I got through it, and that was about all. And I got out of there and went, oh my God, and I have to go back next week and the week after. And I thought about it a lot and realized it was a great opportunity for the ego, and remembered what you said. Well, it could have been worse. You could have been whipped. Mm-hmm. I remembered that, and I decided, well, if you had to do this, that was the preferable way, probably, than some of the other ways that I have vague memory of. And so I went back the next week with an entirely different attitude. I went back with no investment in the results, mm-hmm. no investment in their response, mm-hmm. to give the very best I had to give, mm-hmm. and what they did with it or what they experienced was up to God. It was none of my business.
Right.
And I got through it much healthier, in a much healthier fashion, mm-hmm. than being concerned the week before about the lack of response and what was I doing wrong, mm-hmm. that they weren't responding. Mm-hmm. Now, I still acknowledge that there may have been something real wrong that I was doing, but it didn't come as to what, so I decided all I could do was the best I could do.
Right. Well, you got to remember, an engineer or any type of individual in that category of thinking is geared to think in a what state, too, you see, because they're not going to be able to make something functional if they don't get down to the core of it and do what is called a lab test. That's their type of thinking. So if you're going to talk to people like that, you already know they've made the groundwork as the passenger to the big enough driver.
Is that right?
They're not the driver yet. They don't have the certificate or the validation, but they're mucking around behind the wheel with learning the gear shifts and everything.
So how best to relate to them?
You work through the same process you did. Carry them right up. What they are. Your information that you're presenting is valid to what you can do. Aren't you presenting them data that you work with?
I'm doing my best.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Very sobering experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very sobering experience for me.
Those engineers might have another sense of response. Maybe you went over better than you realized, and they just don't go out of their way. And there's been mistakes in audiences, like the way blacks approve speakers is they look away at each other, and they don't really look at the speaker. It means they've got their attention.
Is that right?
And a lot of whites have been very perturbed at that. They think, well, I just blew this whole thing. But they're looking at each other saying, this guy's okay. They don't look. Applaud at different places than other audiences. So engineers definitely respond differently on some things. And when I worked at the Bodhi Tree, I looked at the filing system right away and I said, you know, this could be improved immensely. This could save a lot of money with that. And the guy that was training me says, well, the two owners are engineers. And I said, you explained it. You don't have to tell me anything else. I understand. I just won't say another word. So they have their, just like when the country bumpkin comes along and lets the air out of the tires in that story to let the truck through, and the engineers trying to figure out how to let the truck under the bridge and get that inch. No one thought of it. So the engineers have their set formulas to do something. So
right.
Their emotions could be programmed like that too. They just
might have correct.
If you'd gone individually to them, I'd say, yeah,
I can't get the truck through it.
I went home and wrote "ha ha" on my computer for an hour after I signed it. It was so great.
you can't get the truck through. we have to remove 3 or 4 bricks. We have to call up a wrecking crew to get the truck or turn the truck backwards.
But that doesn't sound like the what to me. That sounds like the who big time.
Now you're catching on. You see, the what came along and lowered the tile.
Yeah.
But who would think of lowering the tile? Only a country bumpkin.
That didn't know it couldn't be done.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you see, those are what we call the nitty-gritty type. It's easy to lower the tile and get the truck to go through and then pump it up back. But you'll never think of that because why? The mind doesn't think of those such simple things.
He used to tell that story about Milo, was that his name? Lifting the calf?
Yeah.
And anyway, that's how he got his strength to do what he did. But the emperor just said, no, he's just conditioned. Take away his salt and he'll lose.
Yeah.
And the rest of them actually lost because he took away his salt. And he couldn't conceive of his strength not being associated with salt. It's his engineering.
Yeah.
Mentality.
That's true. Yeah, this. See, Milo used to lift up the calf when he was a kid. The baby calves on the shoulder, and together they grew up lifting up easier. So then he's full grown, he's lifting up this huge, big bull. And so that was the championship test of strength. And they're demonstrating before the king. And every day come and they lift up. Oh, great. And the king says, he ain't that strong. You found out what Milo had. And that's why you need a certain food every day and then go there and it doesn't work. Because he's a boy, we need him that way. I think so. I tell you what, you just take away salt tomorrow. We can't live up that cow. Huh? They took away the salt. Milo went out to lift the cow, he couldn't lift it. He struggled all over. Part of it.
You know, summer consciousness, Adana, was like a, there's a story about, it's like with an engineer, you're trying to explain a state of consciousness that you have. But you can't direct him how to be there, and it's like the story of the guy who gets clobbered on the head, taken to a beautiful paradisial island, experiences it for a day, gets knocked on the head, taken back.
Yeah.
And no way you can convince that other person because you can't get them there. The engineer wants to know how to get there every time without accidentally getting bumped on the head and taken there so often.
Well, that's the, again, you're coming back to the who, what. The engineer is trying to bridge into the what by breaking away from a who. You're not in the what as yet. But he's trying to get rid of the who to the what. And that's the same as Hugo is. So Hugo is that locked in, you see. And then if he can't see a what, he's still hung up in his frustration.
If you take it so far, and he's taken it to a wonderful place, but now he's going to have to make that jump.
There are a lot of jumps that you have to take. But I'm beginning to learn that I can't rush the process, and I'm perfectly content.
Oh, J-U-M-P? That's what a jump is. You jump. You jumpy?
Am I jumpy?
Jumpy the gunny?
No.
You see,
but now wait, there's a
umpy, you know, the Swami from Miami. You got Lodi Swami from Miami. Om. home on the range. Very seldom is heard a discouraging word, and it's joy, joy all day.
We just shifted into a time warp here, haven't we? That's...
Yeah, I was talking to Andy. I didn't shift with you. Wait till I catch up here.
I was with him, and I didn't get it.
Did you write that?
Just a little off the cuff.
No, do you still have that tape?
I lost it.
Oh, too bad.
I lost that tape. What was funny, they cleaned the van, and Ginny took it and put it someplace, and then the microfiber was gone.
What tape? Who was it? What was it?
I don't even know who the Swami from Miami was. It was the tape that was off.
Let's call it the Swami from Miami.
The Swami from Miami.
And this is how he used to talk. Ooh, on the range. Very seldom his word, a discouraging word. And it's joy, joy all day.
Do you know his name?
Nobody knows his name. They call him. They call him the Swami from Miami.
Come on down to what the Swami used mantra lot and pick up 7-7.
Well, now,
the Swami from Miami.
So we go through a phase of being in a hurry and wanting to go out and shop for realization, and you search here and you search there, and then you find Adano, and you think if you follow Adano around, sooner or later you'll get it by osmosis,
yeah,
or something. So you tag along behind and hang on his every word until you finally realize whether or not I'm in his physical presence does not determine when I get realization. It's in the cosmic timing. So it's time to go out and live my life and accept my now moments, live in the now, be with the people that I'm with 100%, and patiently wait. Then there is that temptation to say, well, let's just relax and forget about that stuff. So how do you stay in the patiently, meekly wait and murmur not state without sloughing back into the laziness?
Very easy.
Probably keep you breathing or something.
Oh, you see, she answered already. She answered already. Oh, is it realization or realization or realization? Is it a real, a real, a real?
It's a real, R-E-E-L.
Good.
That we're playing.
That's
and
what
I'm just playing my script.
And so it's only real, real, when you breathe. Or it's ill, re-illing you more and more when you think of it. So you can't think of it, you got to live it. And to live it is to breathe it now. So it's called pearl of great price. Can't be rehearsed, and nobody can take it from you because it's all yours. It's real right at that moment when you live it. It's real, R-E-E-L, mm-hmm, when you're worrying about what you're going to do with it.
Okay, then, so right now I'm R-E-E-Ling.
Mm-hmm.
Double E.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple of days I've been R-E-A-L-ing. Mm-hmm. So I've been on the right track, and was the analysis that I doubted that I could possibly be on the right track.
Yeah, and now if you keep worrying about it, you're going to be illing.
No, I'm feeling real good. Now,
okay,
now I can let go of it again.
Okay. So realization is now with Adana. Realization is as you know.
That's right. That's right. Okay. I thought, no, that couldn't be right. I couldn't be right about that. So I had to ask to get the reassurance and thank you.
That's why I said I can't breathe for you.
I know.
And that is the indicator of what is realization. Because in the actual experience of realization, it's the sperm bonding with the ovum, and I wasn't there.
Right. But this is a whole new realm for me.
Oh, yeah, it's a new realm in terms of analysis, not in terms of memory.
True.
Very in true. Terms of analysis, the memory is there.
When I was doing it, it felt absolutely great. Right. When I shifted into, wait a minute, then it was, oh, no, no, that couldn't be right.
You see, where you were, this that was all memory. Then when you come out looking like this, did I really do it? No. But there ain't nobody but So there ain't nobody but So that's realization. That's the actual you. You did it, you see. But you got to go through the analysis of the R-E-E-L to recognize the R-E-A-L and don't get stuck in the R-E-I-L.
And the R-E-I-L is the who that wants to doubt. And
right. So you don't want to really say ill. You don't want to get ill from it. Hello, sister.
Hello.
Yeah.
Every 2 years, they say, every cell in your body is replaced.
Replacement doesn't remove imprint.
So even though it's a whole new cell, it just takes on the same imprinting as the previous cell?
I'll give you an illustration. One molecule of peppermint oil was put in an ounce of water for 24 hours. Then it took out the molecule of peppermint oil and took the 1 ounce of water and threw it into 500 gallons of water. After 24 hours, the whole 500 gallons of water had the reading peppermint oil in it.
Homeopath.
Then after the next 24 hours, it took the 500 gallons and threw it into 5,000 gallons of water. They didn't add nothing else, just shifting the water to gallonage. After 24 hours, the 5,000 gallons of water was reading peppermint oil.
What's the principle there? Even though it's dilution, it's...
You cannot erase any imprint, but you do not have to be a victim of any imprint. Every action is recorded. All life is action. All action is love, which is attraction, repulsion. Love we use as a word, but we don't understand that love is simply attraction and repulsion to record. It cannot be erased.
But when you, okay, I understand that, like if I have a cell here, it's going to...
It has a magnetic field and it has an electrical field. It will keep recording and recording again.
Because I'm basically going to look like the same. If I have a disease, then the disease, just because I get replaced every 2 years,
it's going to leave the body. The imprint isn't going to threaten you, but it will be there for anyone who wants to read. He can come in a neurology machine and will read that the imprint, it's not bothering you, but that imprint is there as a record.
So when you use this machine, though, does it change the imprint?
No, it can't change the imprint. It'll change the effect of it interfering with your functioning.
There's no current manifestation of symptoms.
No.
Just the imprint
of this. Are there too, like the sperm ovum body. And that's the one you want to
remember, we don't get this erroneous notion you even erase anything in this universe. There is no way to erase. That's why they call it the Akashic record or etheric record. You cannot erase imprint from silicon or carbon. They are permanently retained, but they are not necessarily destructive in their retention capacity.
Does it shift it then? In other words, if I have a disease...
Every four repetitions, it will shift its output. It will print itself four times to aggravate.
Generations.
And the fifth time, it will modify without aggravation. But it will be there as a record.
Okay, but in using this machine...
The machine is realigning the frequency, how the frequency was originally. It will not remove an imprint on the frequency.
Okay, so in other words, I had an imprint when I was a baby. And as I grew, my cells maybe got a disease or something that wasn't part of the imprint. So it'll help the disease, but it's not going to take away the imprint.
No.
and the imprint registers what the last four generations of your biological family
so
have
that's
gone
what
through.
Call
also,
that genetics
under the third and fourth generation.
Okay. So after the third
sins
and fourth,
of the fathers and all that.
They don't have the problem, but the child will have a record of what they imprinted to show where it came from.
And the telepath machine is light that prints it on the eyes, which gives it the substance. But the sonics are passed out during the conception.
But many times you get a generation that, because it saw previous generations perhaps step out of the body due to some symptoms, their sonics then can perpetuate that or start it over, even though their generation was the one to phases out?
This is the black tissue. And these are the lines that are running through them to hold it together. That's it.
Definitely get attention,
Jody. I thought you were going to sit down for a minute.
Well, I am.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We all appreciate
that. A minute.
You don't like me banging the pots and pans.
No, I don't mind that. It was there was something in my head that said you really should go up in the hole with help, Jody. That old tape.
All right. Let's say these are the four frequencies running through skin, making your body. They have to be like that all the time running through to make this operate.
That's the imprint?
That's the actual resonance. Okay. This material that you call the paper is held together by these five frequencies. Regardless of what this paper cannot be a piece of paper. On these five frequencies go on in the air, and then this paper will pull together and remain as a piece of paper. Now, if I come along and I hit the paper like that, that impact can create a diagram looking like this.
Change the sonic, in other words, in there.
Or like a seismograph as it registers an earthquake.
You see what I've got?
Pattern changes.
Yeah. So you've got an additional sound.
Then that will remain like that in there as an imprint.
A subliminal learning process.
Does that become an imprint?
These hair will have to put up with this.
Okay.
But what has happened to them, they're deprived of their space now. What they occupy.
Uh-huh.
And in deprivation, this is called an imposition transition.
Okay.
So let's say their boundary lines were up to here, representing the two the edges of the paper. When I hit that paper just now, it created this imprint on the entire paper, but that cannot be erased. That song will not be, it will be always involved with these five, because they'll always record it from the time of the impact. And so, until I send these five frequencies back in, then this one would lose its ability to interfere with these.
That's what the machine is doing.
That's what the machine is doing. It is causing this one to lose its ability to interfere. As long as this sound is not sent back in, this one impact just now will keep interfering with those five. And then this paper would, if you were to draw something indicating it, wherever that impact would, it will show like a crack in it.
So it neutralizes it.